Greetings, hello, and welcome to the Beyond Earth show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and thank you all of you for joining me on this most magical December 14th, the year 2024. And for this transmission, I just wanted to wish all of you happy holidays, and I hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving, and all of the above. And also, with the incoming new year, 2025, we are living amidst the quickening, and the frequencies are rising, and that we all can join and celebrate our individual beliefs and our individual life paths and journeys in our own respective ways, but that we can be in celebration and honor and respect of our ancestors, our family, our friends, our colleagues, and our, let's say, kindred spirits that we may bring in the new year and the years that are ahead for us. And so there's so much, as always, to discuss, but there's been a great deal of in the quickening that we're enduring, in the high frequency of knowledge and wisdom and intel, information, misinformation, psyops, all of that. The main common denominator to really emphasize and focus upon is the peace of God within us, the peace of the Holy Spirit within us, the peace of the universe within us, the peace of what we desire, the peace of our higher selves, peace of a higher self, the peace of what we desire, what we wish to draw in and bring in, especially winding down at the end of a very, let's say, interesting and for some a fabulous year, for some maybe not so fabulous. There's been so much love and loss as throughout our days and our journey here on the third dimension, we all endure. And so for much of life, there's also in the celebration that's in conjunction with celebrating what we've had, celebrating also what we envision for our future selves and what we envision for our future realities, and really appreciating those, especially that are no longer with us. And it can be a very formidable time for many to embrace the holidays. It's always, and any day of the year, of course, right? But especially when it's amplified during holidays, that it's a reflection of what we have endured, what we have been victorious with, our triumphs, and those that have celebrated those triumphs with us, and those also that were with us when things were so upside down, inverted, and unsensible, nonsensible, things that were very injurious to ourselves and those that were around us that may no longer be here in this physical earthly realm, the ones that were support systems, and even the ones that were the antagonistic types in our lives that caused us harm. So in whichever category that may apply to you, I'm just sending out peace and love to everyone who is in celebration or also in reflection with celebration or in the reflection of memory and honor of someone who is dear to them, who is no longer sharing this earthly plane, yet reminding all of you that whatever your belief is, that our soul is everlasting, our spirit is everlasting, and that there are some out there that believe that we just turn to dust and it's finite that way. And I respect their opinion. Yet in my framework, in my observational belief and what I've seen as facts that I cannot denounce, cannot deny, and I'm sure that many of you, if you're listening to the show, that you perhaps have a proclivity towards a similar construct of belief and awareness or observational awareness and your own experiences in which You may also agree that this is not just the only dimension that exists, that there is a heavenly realm, there's an interdimensional realm. And this is when science can meet with spirituality, where the two vast constructs can actually align itself and make some congruency there. And when you think about the fields of our reality, the fields of our entanglements, let's say, with in our quantum field and in a biochemical field in our cellular system, ancestral, epigenetically, spiritually, what we output, what we transmute, what we can alchemize, what we broadcast into the ethers, right? And I'll get into that more in a moment. Yet I wanted to say that our lives are what we make of it, and our spirits are comprised of this beautiful energetic field. That where does the energy go? Even quantum physicists and scientists and biologists can't truly explain where does the soul go, and why is it that when we leave this physical shell that we lose 21 grams? And so there's so much of the unknown and so much mystery and so much that is discovered that is also withheld from us for various reasons. But those of you that just have that innate awareness, that innate knowing, and that you've witnessed in your own personal observation, your own experiences, that you cannot deny, that you cannot denounce, that's your truth. And we are able to transcend and supersede the limiting belief systems that are upon us. We're also able to maximize our potential while we're here on Earth, but also that when we miss someone who's on the other side, we miss a dear friend, a family member, a parent, a colleague, a professor, a person who adopted us, a grandmother or an aunt or an uncle or someone who stepped in that was like a surrogate for you, or a best friend, or an animal, of course, that is a beloved pet. There is so much in this life that we all just need to think about what is so sacred and precious, especially during times of shift and change. And in the reflection of our reality, that everyone that we've ever encountered, good or bad, is part of our journey, and that our souls do live on, and that we essentially truly never die. And so when we look into the sacredness of this beautiful world, we go into the gratitude of the wonders of our world, the creature kingdom in humanity, the good and the bad. We can recognize thereby that the holy nature of life is essentially that even more so sacred. So I did want to discuss a little bit about some of the planetary shifts occurring, and we are in a full moon Gemini as well. And so there's a lot of Gemini is ruled by Mercury, which is the planet of communication. We've also been in a Mercury retrograde, as I've discussed in previous shows, that most of you most likely know that we're in a retrograde. Planets can go backwards or appear to look backwards, but a lot of things come up and frequencies can shift. And in the energy of reflection and going back into the past and into the present, you want to see, because we're coming out of the last retrograde of the year, right? And we're still in the post phase of things. But we want to focus on knowledge and wisdom, because with Gemini, the twins, there's an emphasis with the communication because Mercury does rule that. However, when you go through all the transits that we've endured, like Gemini, Sagittarius, and the Pisces transits, and all the way up into, I would say, prior to the beginning of the summer of 2024, this year we're currently in, there's been an influx of information, almost like information overload. And that could be even in the sense of what's going on in the world events that we actually are being, if we're being told the truth, if we're not being told the truth, misinformation versus information, where to find the real information, what is a psychological operation and so forth and so forth. And this is a spiritual show, so I try to stay within the bounds of that, but then there are times where I'll mention things that are ongoing in our world and the worldview globally, socio-political and so forth. But when we really focus on the matter at hand about how do we process, how do we digest all of this information, and then add that into your own inner reflection of your own, the essay, the journal, the script of your own personal life, all that information, even information in yourself that has been dormant for quite some time, that somehow the outpicturing, the triggers, the externalization of things that are inherently within you, and you see something in the third dimension, you see something as an observer, and it thereby reflects within and then brings up something within that you may have held for so long or even very fresh and recently. So in that internalization of that information from the reflection of what you're observing in the outer realm that may have nothing to do with you, but does affect you, right? And we can look at, the Streisand effects of like how one event can concur with another event and then simultaneously be ongoing and then thereby create this whole entire, let's say, ideology of what is real or what is not real. Yet we can do that within ourselves as well, where everything can kind of, it's like a triage of feelings and what seems to be and take the most precedent. Then there's a subtext to that, and then there's a sequential process that occurs. And so, how do we properly digest all of this plethora? How do we look at the compendium of our life, the compendium around us, and how do we forego what stresses us, what causes us stress and injury, and where we can go into freeze mode, we can go into fawning mode, we can go into this high activation mode where, wow, our senses are so overwhelmed. And how can we really properly assimilate? And then I'll throw in here in the commercial aspect of celebrations where we have holidays and so forth. Yes, it's the most beautiful time of the year, yet the most stressful time of the year for either emotional reasons, financial reasons, and of course, also in the pressure of many things to keep up with. Whoa, wow, everyone expects this of me for Christmas or Thanksgiving. I have to make the most proper Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving if you're vegetarian, vegan. Like anything, right? And some people just say, I'm just gonna do my own thing, my own way, and that's fine. But there's so much pressure with traveling and getting, making it to this event and being everywhere at once, right? So we have all these ongoing energies going on in the world. And then the holidays always seem to be, while they're supposed to be, like I said earlier, the most beautiful, yet they are unfortunately the most stressful. And then you add in the ingredients of the emotional and spiritual, like I was saying, and wow, the senses are overwhelmed. And how do you transcend that? And how do you bypass in that way while still being present? So give yourself all your own little version of a pardon for yourself. Don't shame yourself. Recognize that you're doing the best that you can. And if you're alone and you don't have anyone to celebrate with, and you are used to being alone, and then you have the opposite of like where isolation and sadness and depression, as opposed to the pressure of having so many people around you and having to take care of everybody. So there's a polarization that occurs. And some people do prefer to be alone, and I'm not being negative about that, but there's a great deal of emotions and this juxtaposition of what is supposed to be, what you think people expect of you, and what you think that should be, and you don't have that. So, my solution in a nice and simplified way is to go into the construct of that let peace be within you. And if you don't have the peace within you, which is exactly why sometimes we need to hear this when we need peace the most within ourselves. It's sometimes the hardest thing to just take a moment to say, yes, I need to bring that into my field. I just don't know how. Oh, I'll get to it. I'm so busy taking care of the 12 kids and, my aunt, my uncle, and everyone. Or I'm all alone and who cares what I do? There's nobody around for me to, be around. I lost my spouse of 55 years and I'm all alone and we have our children have passed away. Whatever it might be, that's when you need to bring in the peace of God, the peace of the universe, the peace of your higher self within your field at the most sacred time for yourself. Because when you go into that gratitude and that mindset of, I'm aligning with my source, I'm aligning with God, I'm aligning with Heavenly Father, I'm aligning with Buddha, I'm aligning with Ganesh, I'm aligning with Jesus Christ, the Blessed Mother Mary, Queen of Heaven, whatever it is that is respective to you, or I'm aligning with the trees, I'm aligning with the stars and the moon, and all of the above, all of the creature kingdom. That's the beginning step, is to really fortify your strength and resiliency and the place within you that if you feel like you lost your way and it's been a very positive year or a negative year or a neutral year or whatever, however it is for you, remember that your resiliency, you're here for a reason, and your life is still ever present and ever more significant than ever before, and that there's so much to do. We're here to go about our Father's business. We're here with a purpose. And even if we don't know our purpose sometimes, even if we feel like, wow, I'm failing at my purpose, really go in that inner reflection of that sacredness of peace. It's so simple. Even for 1 minute a day, if you're so busy taking care of a thousand things all at once, take a moment for yourself and just breathe in that peace. Call in for that peace, because when you have the gratitude of that for your own self, when you take a moment to be in that grace, that gratitude for your heart, you recognize that the sun does rise every morning and the moon comes in every evening, right? And so, much as with the cycles of life, much as with the cycles of ourselves, that we are all on a journey together. And those of you that are looking for auspicious new beginnings, right, for the new year, and you've got goals and you feel like, wow, I want to do things different in the year 2025 as opposed to what I've done for the last 20 years of my life or 50 years or 1 year of my life was just heinous. Well, it's always a new beginning. Even tomorrow is a new beginning. So, if you fall down seven times, you get up eight times, right? And so when you mark a certain time frame in your life and you learn from that and you recognize what is the cycle here, what was I out picturing? What was I externalizing outwardly to reflect inwardly that was causing this cause and effect? And some may say that's karma, right? The law of action and reaction, the divine laws of give and take, right? And so sometimes really bad things happen to really good people, but it's what they do with it when it happens. And everyone has their own specific journey of what creates wisdom within the self, what you learn from. And if you can be patient with yourself and open and loving with yourself, and even if you've tried before and you really want to work on that, you're like, oh, I really want to try to work on being more patient in the new year. Well, patience is a virtue, but it's also a virtue that is well applied, and there's an empowerment with patience, because when you draw in the field of patience within the self, you'll notice that things start to embolden around you, and there's a strength that starts to happen. And actually, you're co-creating in the ethers when you're a little more patient within reasonable boundaries, that things will actually start to unfold and manifest
in your life because you're applying that virtue of patience. And when one is in a hurried state and very hyperactive about a particular event, and it is not reasonable to think of it as, let's rush this, let's rush this. But if it is too rushed, then there's almost this energetic type of rebound that can occur where the staticness, we all have static around us and our thoughts also, but that aspect of we are what we think and what we think about most does happen, good or bad. That can also happen when we're applying pressure in and upon something, when we're rushing ourselves too much. And so when applying patience, or even if it's with a temperament, with your emotional dysregulation and how you portray that into the world and how you express that, how it presents to your family, to your friends, to your colleagues. And sometimes people ask, well, I'd really like to work on being more patient and not becoming so angry or frustrated. And so this is why asking for the simple notion that is actually gargantuan, peace. Because if we know that the peace of God, the stillness of the mind, and the joy within the heart exists, then we're reminded that that peace is a powerful attribute to behold and a powerful potion, a powerful antidote, a powerful ingredient to apply when things feel as if they're going inverted or going awry and the senses are overwhelmed. And so when you look at the maturity of the self, where you could be very mature, you could be very astute, you could be very proper, but there are some things that just riddle the self, right? Some things that are just perplexing and it feels even vexing in the soul, right? Where it's like that one thing or that 10 things that just really are bothering you. Look at the ratio and the cost of how it's really affecting you and your nervous system in your daily life. You hear how people say, oh, this person lives rent-free in my head, right? And then you can hear how, oh, this person, I just wish I didn't have to waste my time and energy thinking about this person. Well, it's nice to think about positive people all day and positive aspects all day, right? But when it's like, wow, my Aunt Sally is just the most horrific. She just was so, let's say, self-absorbed, pathologically self-absorbed, clinically narcissistic. I mean, all of the things, and nobody wants to be around her. Oh my goodness. I can't get her out of my head because I keep thinking about her and how mean she is and how judgmental she is and all of those things, right? But the more you think about it, you're actually allowing Aunt Sally to live rent-free in your head, taking up beautiful, sacred space in the mind and heart construct when that could be fulfilled with and replaced with moment by moment, incrementally by something that is more beautiful, where wow, actually, well, my grandma Billy in heaven, right? Wow, she was so nice. You can start thinking about that, or you can start thinking about some goal that you have, that you're gonna change the world, that you're gonna feed the homeless and save all the animals, and that you're gonna, accomplish your goal, or you're gonna, with your nutrition, and maybe if you have a body goal, like you're going to gain your muscle mass or, increase your stamina or lose the weight or gain the weight, whatever it is that you need to do for yourself, like whatever that you can outpicture, you start to focus on that because all these other quote unquote Aunt Sallys, which I know a lot of you, it's been so injurious, right? It's like, wow, where therapy sessions are in order because this person has caused such a transgression in your life and other people's lives, and wow, and the misery that extends. Well, we don't want to give that misery further additional energy. And yes, we have to process it. We think about it. We're humans. So, with the human construct of our mind cognitively and how our emotional regulation system occurs, that we have to really think about it and process it and then compartmentalize it. But we have to come to a place where we recognize that, well, I really need to make peace with my version of Aunt Sally. And I want to focus on my goals. And I want to focus on the nice people that I've known, whether they're here on earth with me, my animals, or if they're on the great beyond, right? And so, and when you go into that place of bringing in that peace, drawing in that peace, you start to recognize what is worth your sacred energy, because we are here for a certain time here in this dimension. And, 20 years from now, 100 years from now, a million years from now, do you really want to be reminded that you were so disturbed by what Aunt Sally did? And yes, it could be the most heinous thing, but is it really going to allow itself to consume and take over your life like a tumor, like a parasite, right? So, and I know that's so simple for me to just be here and speak of this. But it's a lovely reminder for any of you that just kind of need to hear something that is in this example, because the one main aspect that you have that is free, that is within your realm and control, if you work on it, is the custody of your mind. God gave us free will. And yes, sometimes, yes, it feels like Satan's taking over the world and Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, Hal Lindsey, like we could go all into that also. However, God loved us so much to give us free will. And where we have goodness that we can do, and we also have not so goodness that people can do as well, we all make mistakes and we can have retribution. Yet, what do we do when other people harm us? What do we do when we harm ourselves or when we self-sabotage? What do we do when we don't realize that we're self-sabotaging? What do we do when we're harming ourselves? Where did that start? And we can literally go into the aspect of cyclic aspects where perhaps something negative occurred to us and we didn't get to externalize that from within, and that we essentially continued this perpetual cycle. And drawing that back in and bringing that into our field to continually persist until it could be resolved and fixed and thereby eradicated and eviscerated out of our field. But not all of us are able to recognize and name that. So when we essentially look within who is taking up rent free in our mind, right, our hearts, our spirit. And we say, I'm going to replace that with something positive. So if we go in the negative, let's say the fear-based negative mind, right? In which it consumes us. And we're wired that way to survive, to protect ourselves, so we can look for threats, right? And look for what's negative around us so we can survive and live to see another sunrise and another moonlight. Correct? So we can't shame ourselves completely. We have to look at ourselves as the divine beings that we are. Yet, when you're awakened to, wow, like I no longer want to feel burdened. I don't want to feel oppressed anymore. I don't want to feel that I'm a bird trapped in a cage when I'm supposed to fly. I'm supposed to be a free spirit in my own way. And when you consciously recondition from the negative fear-based mind, and yes, conscious reconditioning can take 21 days minimum every single day, in one way or another, you apply that. So if you're thinking about, and Aunt Sally is my example, she's a fictitious example. I don't have an Aunt Sally. I don't know an Aunt Sally yet. Aunt Sally is the archetype of many people that I help that have an Aunt Sally in their life. And so, when you have that archetype of an Aunt Sally, and you really want to transcend the levers and the pools and the quicksand in the metaphorical state. What is the most beautiful thing you can do? Conscious reconditioning, bringing in the peace of God within you, the peace of your higher self within you. Because what happens is when there's an Aunt Sally out there, man or woman, no matter who, whatever position they are, whatever, or a culmination, it could be a group of people, a tribe of people, right? But your self-esteem can get affected. Your sense of self-worth and value can be affected, where you can actually start to believe that what they're accusing you of is true, what they are imposing upon you is true, that perhaps you might start to feel as if you're the wrong one and they're the right one. And that is what psychologically manipulative people do. And they place you in this triangle, the drama triangle of sorts, and thereby they have successfully completed their mission when they live rent-free in your head. So, do you want the archetype of Aunt Sally, fictitiously, to live rent-free in your head? Do you want her to win? Do you want your oppressor, your abuser, your persecutor to win? No. We just want to win with peace. We just want to win with the divine laws of inner peace and justice. And what is the best? It's like the French when they say that the best revenge is living well, right? And so you just want to live well. You want peace on earth. You don't want anyone or any harm done unto one. You just want peace. And that is where the baseline of peace is so powerful and so poignant. And it's a potent potion to eviscerate. If you look at in the ways of Jesus Christ, right? If you look in the ways of peace, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do, right? If you look at any other belief systems, peace is always the way. And so why not have an inner peace? And you could have billions of dollars, right? But if you don't have peace, what is anything worth? You can have a great deal. And some people might say, well, if I had billions of dollars, I would be peaceful inside. But that's not always the right framework because there's a sense of how do you construct within the self when things are presented to you and then you don't have that inner peace within you, and then somehow things start to fall apart all around because that inner framework of peace was not given that greeting of, I welcome you in. I'm full of anger. I'm full of rage. I'm full of depression. I'm full of anxiety. I've been so traumatized. I've been so hurt. I'm in so much loss. I'm in so much pain in my physical body. All I want is peace. So when you just express outwardly, I want the peace within me. I want the peace of God within me. I want the peace of my angels within me. I want the peace of the universe, the goddess, God, goddess, the universe, the divine. I want the peace of Buddha within me. I want the peace of Ganesh within me. I want the peace of the saints, the angels, all the above. Then just declare that. Just declare that. And you'll see that there's a resonance with when you express that something alchemically can shift and change. Because when we're focused on the Aunt Sally archetype, everything gets activated, everything stays activated. And then we are literally broadcasting out into the ethers that, okay, bring more Aunt Sallys in because that's what we're focusing on. So you'll notice that, like, I can't recall, but the cartoon or comic book, like the Charlie Brown, I don't know, but Eeyore, that oh, everything is just always gonna be negative and nothing's gonna work out for me. Well, I understand that that can happen to all of us at some point, right? But staying down, that's the difference, is that we can go through our ups and downs, but the difference is when we stay down. And when we stay down for an exceedingly longer amount of time than we're supposed to, just a trifecta, an ongoing event of cyclic negative events just occur and then are created. And then we're actually subconsciously allowing that to come in because we're not allowing peace to come within us. And so, energetically, spiritually, cognitively, however that applies, you can see in that framework of the mind just how significant that harmony comes in as well. So when the frequency of harmony comes in, it comes from also that peace. So it conjoins, it's a bit adjacent with one another, where you bring in the peace and thereby there's an empowerment with that peace. And then you bring in the harmony that comes next. And then the harmony with the peace conjoin, concur with, and bring in like a symphony of alignment towards this activation on this alchemical scale of transcending, transmuting through, creating a strength, fortitude, and a resiliency. And in that resiliency is this beautiful formula that just happens to happen when you just start with one. Like a single step of any journey requires that single step, right? So when that harmony comes in from the peace and the resiliency comes in and the fortitude and the strength comes in, then everything else becomes water off of the duck's back. Literally, like there's going to be no kinks in your armor after that, where you literally be able to not be triggered again by an Aunt Sally because you have focused and externalized from that. And no more internalization of having and allowing or giving the permission to someone else to take up that sacred space and energy in your mind, your heart, your thoughts. And so this leads me also to discuss a little bit about, what is the miracle that you want to bring in for you today, tomorrow, the new year? What is a long-term goal that you have in the new year? And this is why, when you establish those aspects and the framework for that, it allows you to create and manifest because you have more clarity. Even if you're taking care of 1,000 people and you have, a million people to take care of, and there's so much going on in your life, you can still create miracles. You can still co-create a miracle. You can still pray, manifest, bring that in. And many of you that meditate, continue with your meditation. Many of you that pray, continue with your prayer. Many of you that do all the above, continue. Anything that is good for your soul, for yourself, your higher self, for your inner sense of peace and well-being, as part of the wisdom. So when you align with that, and you can write down any miracle, any goal. I want to find this lost cat. I want to get this most epic job in the new year. I want to feel better in the new year. I want something to happen for me that makes me feel like I have so much more purpose, whatever it might be, right? I want to finish my book. I want to take up guitar. I want to learn how to golf. I want to, run a marathon. Whatever the goal is, even if it's like, I want to learn how to bake cookies for the first time in my life and you're 70 years old or 80 years old, whatever. It doesn't matter what the goal is. But if it's a little miracle or a big miracle, think on that. Replace the rent free, because it costs you a lot. Like these people never give you back the energy that it costs your energetic field. And the toll, actually, I forgot to mention this, the toll though is that it costs you by stress on the body, the wear and tear on your cellular system, your nervous system. And in a sense, it's oxidative. It can literally annihilate so much of your life force, right? So when you are drawing upon that miracle, that goal, that prayer, that manifestation, that meditation, those thoughts become things, the positive affirmations. Guess what that's doing? That's literally putting this quantum I would say like a quantum value, a currency, if you will, in the piggy bank of your mind. So if I say to myself, as opposed to in lieu of, "And Sally is a demon seed. Oh my God, like I never want to hear from her again. I never want to see her again. Oh, she makes me just, she sends me into a tailspin and triggers my post-traumatic stress disorder. And oh my goodness, she literally gives me the biggest panic attack, legit panic attack of all time. I don't want to see her ever again. I don't want to hear from her every time she calls, every time I see her at a family function. Oh my goodness, right? I'm just giving an example. Or if you're at work, and I know it's not so easy, but I'm just giving this as an example. But you think about, you know what? Well, I'll just park Aunt Sally over there, and I'm going to focus on, well, I really want to learn how to Bob Ross paint. I want to be like Martha Stewart, Bob Vila. I want to learn how to play piano, or I want to take up golf, or I want to clean and organize my garage or my storage or whatever it is, right? You want to go volunteer, with animals or with elderly people or at hospice or children's hospitals or whatever it may be, or at the orphanage. And you're like, wow, okay, that feels good to name something that I would like to do. That is a goal of mine, even if it's a goal that you've had for like a long time, but you never got to externalize it or put it into action because of your life was so busy. But you'll notice though that if you actually write it down and you say, I would really like to do that in this new year by a certain timeline, like let's say by May of 2025, that you would like to at least sign up to volunteer, or that by May of 2025 that you would have at least like to take one guitar lesson or one painting lesson or one gardening lesson or bake cookies or eggplant or whatever it is, right? And you will see that you have this goal that you're really wanting to attain, and also huge goals like I have a massive goal, like I want to get my book finished, I want to get my record signed, whatever it is, whatever, right? I want to win this. So you go into that framework and your mind starts to apply all its energy, and then you feed yourself with this currency. It feeds itself as opposed to taking away, and then you recognize that you actually are your own victor. That you are victorious and that you are winning, and that you recognize that you are the value, and that nobody can take away your value and self-worth because you are essentially the conductor of your life, and that you are essentially in charge of you. And we co-sign with God, the creator. We co-sign with the everything else that we believe in, of course, but at the end of the day, it's up to us. It's up to us to drink that water when we're led to the fountain, right? It's up to us to lift those weights. If we're with a trainer and they're like, well, I can train you, but you have to do the work, right? If you have a coach, if you have a therapist, if you have anything, if I cook for you the greatest, beautiful, divine, gourmet, whatever it is that you like, but you don't eat it. I can't make you eat it. I can make it for you. I can teach you. But if you don't, then that's my limit, right? But all of you can recognize where your limit is. And then you can recognize that you are the one that essentially has to decide if you want to eat that salad or if you want to actually strum that guitar and learn the chords or the piano keys or the singing lessons or learning how to do golf swings or whatever it is, or the paintbrushes. It's up to you to do that. And once you do that, then you recognize that practice makes essential perfection, because in that perfection of practicing, you see that you are far more capable than what you previously recognized, and your self-worth increases. The doubt that you had from before, there's a certain tension and anxiety that can exist within the self. And that starts to become a bit lessened. Because when you're actually putting the pen to the paper, even if You're trying to draw and learning how to draw like a unicorn or an octopus or a shark or a dog or a kitty. And you're like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. I can't ever draw like someone that is amazing at drawing, right? But you start to practice and then you recognize that your circles become more fluid, that your squares become more, perfect or aligned. And then you start to gain that confidence. That's with anything. And this is, yes, common sense, but these are important reminders that sometimes the simplest things that we tend to forget that we have to apply in our life truly make a huge empowering difference within ourselves. So at any given time, if you're feeling low, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling in a way that you're like, wow, what do I do? How do I get out of this? Bring in peace. Yes, bring in peace. And some might say that sounds so generic. Oh yeah, bring peace, peace on earth. But it's so essentially true though. And you can even sometimes just practice thinking about peace, what your perfect version of peace is, for 30 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, and then let it grow. And sometimes we have this reality that we live within, and others do not live in that same reality. Others have a different perspective of their own reality. But that's the beauty of being yourself, is that in the autonomy of your soul, of your free will, of your own individual life path journey that your soul decided to step in. Into the rebirth pool, into this incarnation, whatever God and you decided to choose, right? Then you're here for a reason, and you're here for a very significant and very imperative reason, and that your soul has much to explore, much to venture with, much to take on with the adventures of this planet. And when you feel as if you've reached the end, just think of the word peace. Just spell it out. Just think, what does peace feel like? And when you envision that, your cellular functioning starts to also feel that, just like the organs within your body, your chakras, your meridians, your energetic field. And if you just declare, I want to bring in peace today into my life, or I want to bring the peace of God within me. I want to try to have peace today. I'd love to ask for peace today. It's that simple. And then you can recognize what else comes in. And that is part of the laws of resonation, the laws of divinity. So when you give permission to an energetic force field of positivity or negativity, you can choose. And we will prefer to choose positivity, right? You want to return your attention to that. And when you return your attention to that presence of what can touch in, and you look at beautiful aspects of nature, you look at the trees, you look at the birds, you look at the ladybugs, you look at the kitties, the puppies, you look at the wolves, you look at the horses, the hawks, the eagles, the sharks, the whales. You look at the beautiful little spiders, the snakes, like you look at all of life, even if it looks a little scary to some people, I understand. But you want to treat the world with a sacred peace that you wish to bring back and mirror back into yourself. And so you recognize that you can find the divinity, the divine presence wherever you go in this world. There can be people that are unfortunately in prison cells. That are innocent people who are wrongfully convicted, right? Let's say. And they're working very hard on the peace of God within them, right? And then there are people who are at the wrong place, wrong time, unfortunately. And there's so much injustice in the world and so much justice at the same time. And then who can really balance out the scales? But when it is your own independent life that you can operate and work within and upon, you really want to work on remembering. There's this reverence because there's a diversity in life, but there's also this reverence amongst the diversity of all what can be going on in this world. And so you have a dichotomy of good and bad, the yin and yang, dark versus light, evil versus pure and good, right? And so feel that divine presence within yourself. Feel that you are part of the treasure trove of this world, that you're part of the wonders of the world. Your existence, your life, being here on this planet Earth at this very precise moment in time, you're all part of this beautiful tapestry. And that tapestry helps make the rest of the world go around. So, what are we at? Like 8 billion people in the world now? I know that there's a differentiation with population where the birth cycles have decelerated and so forth yet. But in essence though, if we're at 8 billion around that, you're one of the many that are the innumerable souls that exist for a reason here. And we want to honor each other and give gratitude for our conjoining journeys, wherever you are in the world. And this life is full of interesting surprises. And sometimes the mystery and the mystery of like, wow, I want to know everything. I want to know. Well, the knowledge will come into you. And the things that you are supposed to uncover, you'll uncover at the precise, right, perfect time for you. And so, before I close today, I did want to express that again for the memories of those that are no longer here with us, just a loving prayer that we recall and honor the dear ones with those prayers of love and memory that. We have full appreciation, full admiration for all the joyous recollections that they bring to us, and that we are blessed with those beautiful feelings that arise within us when we think and upon those recollections, when we think upon that person or that animal or accumulation of people and animals that we have truly loved that are no longer in this physical world with us. And also, too, for those that we might not have ever known, but that we've observed that died in a tragic, that were victims of heinous crimes or unfortunate events, that we just send out a prayer, we send out an appreciation, we send out the love to their families, to their colleagues, their friends, to people that just may have touched the lives of so many other people as well, right? And things that we'll never know, but that we know that someone knows of them, right? And so, one more thing before I say goodbye for this transmission today. Think about that miracle that I was referencing. Think about what miracle you'd like to invoke within you, because in the holiness of all, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That is what Peter had said. So, this is a holy universe, holographic and holy at the same time, right? And there's a wholeness to that holiness. So, decide on the wholeness that you wish to become, decide on that aspect of. You can be a saint too, a saint for yourself and others. You can be an angel messenger for someone. You can be a good person, a good steward. You could be a good person for yourself, first and foremost, and work on all of those aspects of bringing in peace into your world. And that peace grows that magical aspect of that sacred divinity that you inherently deserve. And the kingdom of heaven is within you and upon you. And so It is always a pleasure, an honor for me to be here with you today, and I thank you all for listening. And for those that subscribe, thank you so much for your support. And I look forward to joining you again in the next 2 weeks. And thanks again for joining me on this December 14th, 2024, end of year transmission, and wishing you all a beautiful remainder of the year.